You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, and welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside Chris to my right, James to my left, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Go and use that promo code the next time you are there, and we have an absolute giant win. The win of the season, guys. The way they played was excellent. And the second night of a back-to-back against an opponent that they've had issues with in the previous three games, the Dallas Stars get the biggest win of the season over the Colorado Avalanche by a final score of 7-4 tonight, guys. I don't even know where to start. There's so many things that we could talk good about with this team today. It's just overall a fantastic win, and I mean, we have already been talking about it, but this team is ready for the playoffs.
Yep, 100%. Absolutely the biggest win of the regular season. Stars stepped up right when they needed to in a tough situation on the second night of a back-to-back in the same situation that they've been in against the Avalanche, ahead late in the game with multiple goals. If they gave up the lead this time, it would have been, you know, had tons of excuses. They played last night. They flew in this morning. They're playing a mile high altitude. It could be a big issue. And despite all that, they still win the game, and they do it in a way that showcases why the Dallas Stars are such a good playoff team. Each different part of this team picked up the other part. So when one part started sliding off a little bit, the other part picked it up. And that mostly is shown, in my opinion. I mean, 7 goals is huge, but Otter played fantastic the last 10 minutes of this game. Lots of stuff you can see early. Maybe he could have been better, especially that first goal. But when we needed him most, he was there. And when we needed the goals to make up for his mistakes, they were there too.
Yeah, and that was really the big thing for me was the execution tonight. I mean, we saw it. We had a lot of shots last night and lots of chances, but we couldn't put any in the back of the net. And the exact opposite problem is tonight.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
What? I wasn't going to say it.
I thought you were going to say something. My bad.
Poor Reed.
The biggest thing I want to talk about here tonight is the opposite of what we've seen against this team the last couple of times. Like seriously, the difference between this game and the previous Colorado Avalanche games is what? We got a freaking goal in the third period. And of course, of all the players to do it, it's Wyatt Johnston. We've talked about him the last 2-3 weeks being the impact player that he has been for the Dallas Stars. If that doesn't show it right there in the biggest game of the season, and he's the one that gets it, I don't know what else you can say about him.
I agree with you on that, but also he had a tap in because Stankoven did some work in front of the net there.
But what I'm saying is that, like, right moment, right time, you know, youngest player on the roster.
I would argue.
Yes.
And that was true of everybody on the team tonight. I feel like everybody stepped up when they needed to.
The thing that really impressed me about this game tonight was, all the defensive plays, which seems crazy considering we allowed 4 goals tonight. But it was a fantastic overall game from all the players around. I mean, seriously, I think when you look at the defensive aspect of the game, again, Chris Tanev was the biggest prime difference in this game when it comes to the defensive side of the puck.
Yeah, definitely saw a lot more of the tenacity that Flames fans were talking about when we first got him that he has, and it was tenacity. I mean, there was plays where it was 2-on-1s with him, and he was, I can't remember the exact play, but it was 2-on-1. there's a guy with the puck on the icing line, and he is in a mad dash to get to the open guy in the center of the ice, just away from the puck. Kind of weird, like he's getting away from the puck that quick, but he's trying to cover the guy who's got the angle. So yeah, he played exceptional tonight, and it seemed like he had a lot more want to tonight, I feel like, than even other games. He felt the impact of that this game had on the season for sure.
Well, we had talked about like 3 weeks ago how, you know, Antonov is doing okay. He's doing better. He's starting to, you know, find his comfort zone here in Dallas. And he is, the last four games actually, has been dynamite. And tonight he even gets rewarded with an assist. So, I mean, he's really kind of formulating that this team really needed him on that second pairing. And he's been fantastic. He's been absolutely fantastic since he's been picked up.
Yep. Took a few games, but he settled in nicely for sure.
Yep. And again, like three or four different opportunities for him to kind of showcase his defense. And he did it on a 2-on-1 where he stood up at the blue line and it looked like a really dangerous play. It looked like a routine for him. And then there was nothing bigger than when we thought Otter made that giant save when it bounced off the backboards. And it wasn't Otter at all. It was Chris Tanev who got his stick in the way, didn't allow Nichushkin to get that huge chance that easily would have probably been in the back of the net. So seriously, shout out to Tanev. There's numerous other players you can go with, but I kind of want to hear y'all's thoughts on how Jamie Benn played tonight, because that when we needed extra guys to score, he has been huge. And now he's got 10 goals in 10 games. He's a 20-goal scorer again, and he's just starting to ramp up his play for the playoffs, and he looks like a guy that is bound and determined to get his name on that cup.
Yep. Him and Johnson, both three-point nights tonight, and I can't remember which post it was on, but they were talking about how good Jamie's been, 10 goals last 10 games, and I was saying, yeah, Jamie can sniff Lord Stanley right now. I mean, he senses it, and he's gearing up for it too. He looks fantastic. I mean, He's been incredible. There's nothing more you can say. Him and Johnston are the top line at the moment.
Yeah, they've just been absolute dynamite. And again, like y'all talk about those two pieces. I mean, it's equally on Stankoven as well. I mean, they all fight for the puck. Every single time they dump the puck into the offensive zone, they get it. It's literally clockwork for them. It just happens every single time, one way or another, they end up with the puck in the offensive zone, regardless of if they have possession going into it or not.
Yep. And it's always shocking when Stankoven does that because of how small he is. Like, you don't think that he would be such a good F1 on the forecheck, and he really is. He screws people up anytime that he's the first guy in the zone. And the whole Stars team did fantastic on the forecheck all night long. That was something super consistent that we kind of lost at the beginning of the third period, I would say, was just that super strong forecheck from the Stars. And to keep it up as long as they did with the situation that they have with the second night of back-to-back and all the other things going on, very impressive. Very good conditioning from this team. And, I mean, that's how you could shut down that Colorado team. They were flustered anytime the puck was in their own zone.
The cycle, since we're talking about it, the cycle was fantastic, and especially in the first and the second period. The first goal, obviously Otter wants that but one back. Let's be honest. Yeah. I'm not sure what happened on that play. I guess he just lost where his net was and he thought that the puck was going wide, and that obviously wasn't the case. But after that, he locked it down. And then during that whole first period, the Stars just seemed to outplay and outmaneuver the Colorado Avalanche when it was 5-on-5. The problem that they allowed the Avalanche to do is they took some penalties. So I guess just stay out of the box when you're playing the Colorado Avalanche.
I don't know what Suter's supposed to do to stay out of the box there, though. I guess he's not allowed to play defense. Right. Yikes.
Yeah.
Good thing the Stars got one of those back, though. I mean, the same slash that McCarr got on Ben was pretty ridiculous.
And then, not like I'm trying to be anti-Stars here, but the no call on the icing?
That was weird.
That was extremely interesting, and it led to a power play for the Stars. And was that one of the ones they cashed in on?
Yep. We cashed in on all of our power plays, Roy. Yep.
Yeah, I was about to say. I thought we had four, but it was like, wait a second. No, we did cash in on all of them. So let's move to that then even. The power play was different tonight for the Stars. Unlike last night and unlike some other games that they've had in the past, the power play was perfect for them. And the other thing that was different compared to last night was they capitalized on their chances. They didn't let Georgiev be the better goalie.
Yep. And it started to look like that was going to happen in the first period too, because Georgiev was great the first period. He was the best player and his team was still down 2-1. So the Stars were very good at not getting frustrated. That's something they've been good at all year, is not letting the other team's goaltender frustrate them, just to keep going at them and keep attacking. They've been great at that. And yeah, the response from the power play tonight is great. That's exactly what you want to see after they kind of flubbed it last night. I mean, they had the chance to take the lead and or to tie the game times. And they gave it up. So great response from that, from both of those groups. They were both really good tonight.
So we also saw the scariness that was the Esa Lindell injury. It looked like he was going to be questionable to return in the third period. And Chris, you let me know that he did return and he was on the ice there for the third. So that does kind of worry me a little bit, to be honest with you, because now we've seen both Tanev and Esa Lindell kind of have a couple of injuries that they seem to be able to play through. So is that something that we should absolutely be worried about when we think about this? Because, you know, one of those guys goes down, that this Dallas defense looks very much, you know, not as solid as they are right now.
I mean, he came back in the third period and he played kind of a ton and he played really well. So I wouldn't be really worried about it. I'm sure he's playing hurt, but I'm sure there's several guys who are playing hurt on both sides tonight too. So I'm not too worried about it, honestly. And it's a good thing he came back too, because Lundqvist didn't see the ice after he allowed that that fourth goal from the Avalanche.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, because that's a huge talking point over in the chat just watching it. But I didn't think that Nils deserved to be benched for that particular play, because Duhaime is a bigger guy and Nils didn't get any help either. I mean, he pretty much did his job. He had the right positioning and he just got out-muscled by a bigger guy. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I mean, that kind of proves my point on that one play about why Hakanpaa is going to be on the ice as soon as he's available. Because Lundqvist makes the correct play. You're right, Ryan. Initially, he's in the correct play. He's in the correct position, and he's making the correct play and just gets out-muscled. He gets beat one-on-one. And that's something that that wouldn't happen to Hakanpaa. He's not going to get pushed around that way. So, yeah, it kind of sucks for Lundqvist. He's just a smaller guy. Okay, you got to get stronger then. As a defenseman playing in front of the net, that's your responsibility to be strong enough to fight that guy off and keep him from scoring. Because that's a one-on-one play that he lost.
And you'll say that, like, Duhaime's a lot bigger. He isn't. Duhaime is an inch taller and 10 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not much bigger. Okay.
He looked a lot bigger right there. Lundqvist made him look huge. So, it sucks that Lundqvist doesn't have that strength right now. It's kind of on you at that point. Like, you got to be stronger than that on the puck. And he just wasn't. And that's why he got benched, I think. It's because it's a one-on-one deal. That's a puck battle, essentially. It's a man-on-man. And it's a goal versus no goal, and he couldn't beat him. And I think that's why he gets the bench. It's not like he made a bad play. It's just, that seems like a heart thing there almost.
And it's too important of a game to let that one go in late when your team had such a great period.
Yeah. You go into that second intermission up 3 goals. That third period feels a lot different too.
Exactly. The two-goal lead is like nothing nowadays, it seems like. And obviously, with the way the Stars have played this year, they've shown that they can get 2 goals in a very short amount of time. I mean, they literally did it against Nashville in, like, what, 10 seconds? So, I mean, a two-goal lead is absolutely nothing in this league anymore. And as much as we hate to say it, and this is going to be seriously debated about across social media by Dallas Stars fans for the next couple of days until the next game, because, you know, and the other thing you have to consider is the chemistry that Suter has with both Hakanpaa and with Nils. And it's fair to say, and it's the kind of the advanced analytics back it up, that Nils Lundqvist plays better with Suter than Hakanpaa does. But there's not another option unless you decide to break up that pairing of Miro and Harley. And as far as we've seen, That's not something that Pete DeBoer has been willing to do, and he shouldn't at all either. That's been an incredible pairing since Jorge Elias stepped up there. So,
I'm going to give more for Nils Lundqvist too. He's played really well at times recently as well. I mean, a couple of two-on-ones he's played really great as. He had that great scoring chance early on in this game. I believe it was in the first period. So he's doing a lot of things really good, and this is what's kind of so frustrating with his development as a player, is like he's got this stuff. He's got all of it. And when it comes to this one-on-one battle to save a goal, he can't muster up enough grit to take care of it. So because you're seeing flashes of greatness. It's reminding me of the Gurionov stuff. You're seeing all the tools. He's got everything, and he's just not doing it.
It's not doing the little things that everyone else is doing, is really what it comes down to. He's got more skill than a third pairing defenseman, but he's doing all the little things worse than anyone else would, it feels like.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are listening on the audio side later, I just brought up a comment by Ardell that said, you know, maybe he really screwed himself over by refusing to play in the AHL when he was in New York. That could be something, absolutely, because we've obviously seen the trajectory of Thomas Harley's career after playing a year in the AHL, and look at where he is now. He's double digit in goals. He probably could hit 20 if he just shot a little bit more. And we've seen Nils Lundqvist, you know, basically get benched all of last season, the last, you know, third of the season, never played in the playoffs last season. And he's still being talked about, you know, as a guy that is on the outside looking in when it comes to the roster decisions.
And
it's frustrating for Stars fans. And even as at a big game like this, where we played so stinking well, that one mistake by him could have been the turning point in the game. Now, thank goodness it wasn't, because we have a Wyatt Johnston and a Stankoven and a Ben. But it's just unfortunate to see that. And we don't do this to like hamper on the guy. This is we're trying. We want to see him in the lineup. He deserves to be in the lineup, but he keeps making these little plays like this that an NHL defenseman on a Stanley Cup caliber team cannot make against these top teams. I mean, is that fair?
It seems that he always does it against the good teams is more the bigger issue for me. It's in these big games, the DeBoer almost never trusts him ever in these big games. He does not have the confidence in Nils Lundqvist to be on the ice when there's other good skill players on the ice on the other side.
Yeah, definitely true. Tonight, it's not like he was on pace for a lot of minutes tonight either. I mean, he had 8 minutes time on ice before he was benched. So he was on pace for 11:30, 12. Yeah.
Which is still better than a lot of other defensemen. A lot of other number six defensemen get under 10 minutes I've seen on other teams. So, but Nils is not a guy that should be playing 12 minutes a night. He should be playing more. He should be. But I don't want to talk about the offseason right now, but I guess we have to a little bit with him. Is this something where maybe we move off from Nils Lundqvist? I don't see him willing to go down to the AHL and, you know, be the number one guy down there possibly. But I mean, what's the next step for Nils Lundqvist here?
I'm not in that mindset right now. Let's go win a Stanley Cup.
James.
No, I agree with Chris. I can't think of it.
Yeah, you read
the game that we just went through, and you're going to talk to me about offseason right now with like four or five games left.
Yeah,
I know. Hey, guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly and bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Auston Matthew leads the way. He's got a -330 in the odds. But you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a +650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a plus 1,000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a plus 2,500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Subject change. Okay. Man, that top line from Colorado is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, McKinnon...
That's without Rantanen on it.
With no Rantanen. Yeah. McKinnon, 24-57 time on ice. I mean, that's insane. That beats everybody on the team except for Makar. And his line mates are there, too. I mean, Drouin, 24-32, and Lekkonen, 23-30. This is a very top-heavy Colorado team, and every time they were on the ice, it was terrifying.
Yeah, and that's time on ice for the Avalanche is going to be a problem in the playoffs, because if you're playing your top guys that much more than everyone else, you are not going to make it four series. You will not make it four series. That is, like, not possible.
That's kind of what I want to get at, is if the Stars do end up playing this team at some point in the playoffs, you've got to punish that too. And the Stars didn't really do that tonight, I feel like. But in a seven-game series, you got to play the long game here, and you got to put bodies on those top players and make them pay anytime they make
Makar
some kind of aggressive play.
Makar especially, because he played... He was one of two players that got over 20 minutes for their defenseman.
Yep. Yeah. So Makar, especially, he's definitely their number one defenseman, and they don't really have a number two. Kind of like the Stars were.
Taves is a two.
Taves is a very good number two. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
They have the best offensive defensive core, if that makes any sense. Like, they get a bunch of offensive production from those six guys there.
Taves would be a great number two 4 years ago, maybe.
Shots fired. They've also got Sam Girard, and I mean,
who?
Girard.
They don't play as much as Makar ever does. I mean, Makar's been doing this all season long. It's gonna hurt them in the playoffs.
And I think that's something that Jim Neal worked on in the offseason. Went out and got more depth. Went out and got Duchesne. He got Marchment 2 years ago. He brought in Stankoven, and he's kind of stuck on that line with Jamie Benn. And then he also went out and got Sam Steele and Craig Smith this offseason. So,
and we got lucky that Harley is so much better this year.
Yes, that is true as well. And I just don't know what team can kind of boast the things that the Stars have right now. They've got four lines and we'll talk about the broadcast here in a second, but to their credit, they did talk about how all four lines can score, and that the Stars' fourth line is very different than most teams. Like, that fourth line can score with Fox, Smith, and Steele. All three of those guys have shown that they can score, and that's just different than a lot of teams. There's some teams that don't even have a third line that can score. And our top goal scorer is on the third line. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And one interesting thing that Duchesne said during the first intermission interview that he had was like, yeah, we don't have a lot of guys with big numbers, but that's because we're all playing almost the same amount. I mean, that's really why there's not a Robo with the amount of points he had last year, is because he's playing just as much as our third line is, because they're all that good. They're all good enough to score. And as it shows tonight, when they have second nights of back-to-back like this, we have all the energy still. I mean, it's not like we lost a ton. We lost a little bit in the third period there, obviously. But with an older team, all those guys were still able to play their normal minutes, no problem.
I did want to jump on something.
If you want a crazy stat, so the Stars have 820 goal scorers, right? Colorado, has 3.
Yeah.
They have 320 goal scorers. Now, granted, two of those people have scored 40, and that's the difference. But
prop heavy.
Extremely top heavy.
So well, I have another little interesting thing I want to bring up if you don't have anything to interject, Ryan.
I do want to jump on one thing you said, and I'll let you say it. That now, it's not a big deal, but like I know you said that you would like to see the Stars kind of jump on Colorado a little bit, maybe just like a little bit physically, I guess, is kind of what you intended.
Yeah.
But honestly, the situation in tonight's game was the reason why I would kind of push back on that a little bit. Second night of a back-to-back, they flew in the day of, and they, you know, it's literally the other best team in the conference. So I think it's okay. But anyways, go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Yeah. Fourth line was kind of just interesting tonight for Dallas. Especially after they've been so good recently, gave up a couple, had a couple of good shifts in the offensive zone, but defensively, I think they were a little bit exposed tonight when they had to play against the better lines on Colorado, since they play them so often. Is there any thoughts there from y'all?
The one goal that they got scored against them was on the icing call, and Smith was like severely interfered with getting to that point, man, trying to block the shot. I mean, he was hooked, spun around everything, never had a chance on that dude. So that's kind of where my pushback is. They did look kind of iffy on it, but overall, I thought they did an okay job versus inferior lines for the most part for them.
I didn't think it was all as bad and as worrisome. It's the Colorado Avalanche. If it was the Chicago Blackhawks and we were playing, you know, Seattle and Ottawa and, you know, whoever else is in the bottom feeders of the NHL, and they were giving up goals on that fourth line, I would be worried. But this is not something I'm worried about moving forward
at all. I just think it's kind of interesting given the time on ice differences there, because like we would show our fourth line to any other fourth line in the league. We're probably saying our fourth line is better. I mean, that's one of the strengths of this hockey team, is how good our bottom lines are. And they're exposed tonight, not because they were worse than the other team's fourth line, but because they weren't playing against the other team's fourth line. It's kind of a weird thing to look at on these teams that are playing their top guys so much. It's harder for our fourth line, because they are going to have to play against those guys too. I don't know. Something to look at as we move forward. I agree, though. Both the goals that were scored on them were kind of fluky. They had the first goal go in on them, which was obviously the knuckle or whatever that Otter missed. And that second one off the faceoff. I didn't see that interference, but maybe a good point.
Go back and watch it. Look. It was pretty egregious.
No, yeah, like it was. Who was it up at the top? It was. I think it was Foxa who was on the other side, and he was in great defensive position. And Smith would have been there, you know, to get in the way of the shot, or at the very least to make it harder for whoever it was taking the shot there. And I mean, he was very easily, you know, is seen to be a pick play. And that happened to cut. There was another time
they did it on almost every single faceoff they won. And that's something that the league needs to call out, because there is some where it's like, okay, you shoved them a little bit. But when you get your arms wrapped up around someone, it's different. And that was my problem on that play, was the arms and the reaching. And that should get called.
Kind of the same thing in the NFL. Like, you rub them, sure, you can rub them, but you can't grab them. I mean, that's too much. I agree with you there. And while, since we're late in the podcast now and all the Avalanche haters are gone, man, the officiating tonight was not good. The Stars should have had 7 power plays tonight. I mean, all over the place, there were slashes and hooks that didn't get called. Stars dominated this game top to bottom, and what did we just barely beat them on power
plays? Yeah, because there was a double minor, because they had to hit us in the face with their stick.
Yeah, we got two calls all night, which is insane. I mean, I'm glad that they put away their whistles, but they didn't really on that Suter call. So I don't know. I didn't like the officiating.
I would just like to say it's nowhere near as bad as last night. Let's just be honest there, right?
That is 100% true. Nowhere near as bad as last night. But when the Stars are playing this good and they're not getting rewarded with the calls, it is frustrating.
Yeah, it just seems to always happen against the Stars too. Even when they're playing with this much pressure, they always end up with the first call against them. It's just like a given every single time. And that really changes the game. And we saw that yesterday with the Chicago game. I mean, Stars are in control. Stars are in control. Oh, we breathed on Bedard. Oh, it's a goal.
Yeah. Ben learned that little handshake from Bedard tonight, too. I mean, it works.
I know. You know,
works. Use that handshake.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bedard.
Old dog, shake. New tricks.
So, one other thing, and then we got to wrap it up, guys. And this was the most frustrating thing tonight is it really felt like that most of the coverage was in favor of the Colorado Avalanche. Shocked. And maybe that's just from a biased position as a Dallas Stars fan. And the understanding that, you know, there are way more superstars on the other side for Colorado compared to the Stars. But it really didn't feel like that the Stars were given, you know, any good publicity by the broadcast team, yeah, other than when Thomas Harley was given his accolades at the beginning of the third. So I don't know.
Kind of, I think the best thing that was said about the Stars team as a whole was when they asked the other coach how to defend against our power play. And he basically said, shoot it down the ice. Because they have a lot of good people on their team. And if they get it in the zone, they're going to score. So, yeah.
I mean, I get it from a broadcasting standpoint. There are two very marketable players on this Colorado Avalanche team in McKinnon and McCarr. It makes sense for them to try and draw the average fan's eyes towards them. And your eyes are drawn towards them anyway. I mean, you watch this game. Those two are the most noticeable players on the ice. They are crazy. And you got to know, these national broadcasts are for the average hockey fan. So yeah. I don't really have a problem with it. I get it can be a little frustrating, but it's a broadcast. Who really cares? I don't. The Stars don't have a big superstar the same way that this team does. So I get it. I don't really care as much.
And kind of like
2-on-1. Sorry, go ahead, James.
The only thing that I would say is a little unfair is that the Stars were pushing for the entirety of the first period. And the second the Avalanche got like one rush up ice, it was like, oh, it's a big deal, right? Like the Stars had 10 of the first 11 shots on goal and nothing was said about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think some of that has to do with it being at home in Colorado too. And their fans were going berserk anytime.
That is the other thing. Ice. Yeah. It's a lot. It's that way when the home team is on national broadcast. They do favor the home team typically.
Well, the thing that was really frustrating for me was like the odd man rushes the other way. There was one in particular, I forget who it was. I think it might have been Sagan, and it went off of Georgiev's glove. It was a 2-on-1. And that was like the most boring call I think I ever had heard on a 2-on-1 when the Stars could have scored. And again, I understand it, but it was like every single time McKinnon got the puck and like nothing came of it. It was like, oh, McKinnon's coming down to that. Oh, it was poke checked away by the Dallas Stars. But that's literally what it felt like the entire time. Like the inflection of John Buchogross's voice completely changed when the Stars had the puck.
Yep.
Just a feeling.
Yeah, just tune everybody else out. Just listen to Ray Ferraro give his deal every once in a while. That's pretty good. And then
the other weird thing is that like they talked about the Colorado Avalanche offense like it was the craziest offense in the league, but the Stars are second in the league too. I mean, it's a 1-2 offense in the league game. So regardless, the game was fun, and the game showed that they are the best two offensive teams.
Yep.
And nothing really about how, you know, I didn't hear anything about Colorado's penalty kill. That was the difference in the game.
They didn't talk about it.
So you would think that's something that they would be talking about when it's very consequential in the game. But anyways, biggest winner, biggest loser. We got to wrap it up. It's late. Who y'all got?
Jamie Benn, insanity. It is not contained to the month of March. It has spilled over officially into April and hopefully will into May as well. This dude is out of his mind. He is playing like his best hockey in 5 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to take the easy one for me. Thomas Harley, good night. Especially on the power play, takes Miro's job from him and just does it all himself. Gets 3 assists on 3 power play goals and played almost 25 minutes. That was a great game for him and big step up against a really strong opponent.
And since I called him out last episode, this was a huge bounce back game from him, by the way. There were no major disastrous turnovers that he had in the game like he did in the game against Chicago. Again, he had like 4 or 5 against Chicago. Nothing here tonight. Great offensively. He was the driver on the power play, like you said, James. Huge for him. I'm going to give mine to Wyatt Johnston. It has to be. This game could have very easily gotten out of control after that 4th goal by Jonathan Drouin for the Colorado Avalanche. And then, yes, I know it was basically that whole line, but he's the one that gets the goal. And he's made the difference.
You forget the trick play that he had. Broken stick, slap shot, trick play. All part of the plan.
That is very true as well. So, but he's the best player on the Dallas Stars team right now, and he's the youngest. He's not even 21. He legally is not allowed to drink in the United States, and he is a huge reason why this team is looking as good as they are right now. So, one other guy that we haven't talked about at all tonight, just to wrap it up before we do Biggest Loser, Tyler Seguin. Tyler Seguin comes in, he gets the night off against the Blackhawks, comes in, gets 2 goals.
Yeah, ridiculous. Whole second line. Honestly.
Yeah, how important is Tyler Seguin? Just compare the last 2 games.
Yep. Exactly.
And that's
No offense to Maverick Bourque at all. It's just that there's something with that chemistry between Marchment, Duchesne, and Seguin that just really seems to work. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and that whole second line was crazy. If I was to change my biggest winner, it would be to the second line. They all had crazy individual skill plays to score goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, biggest loser tonight.
There's only one answer, and it's Lundqvist, and I'm so sad about it. I mean, I want him to be good so bad.
And so does every other Stars fan. But, like, that was the biggest play that could have gone bad. And, you know, if this game had gone, we were talking about, like, a 6-5 loss, we would be hampering on him like crazy. And we'd be talking about how that goal at the end of the second was the turning point and all that sort of thing. Thank goodness that wasn't, but I don't want to say this because it sounds bad, but I hope Håkanpää is not ready to come back yet. Cause I want to see him kind of get himself some retribution and play a little bit better against Buffalo in the next game. I really hope that he can figure it out. So, oh, yeah, that's a good one, Ricky. The other biggest loser is ESPN. there's some truth to that answer there, too. So, James, did you give your biggest loser?
No, I didn't. No? My biggest loser is going to be defense this game because, holy moly, that's a lot of goals. Even for both these teams, that's a lot of goals against. So, makes for a really fun hockey game, though.
Especially the first 2 periods. The first 2 periods was so much fun to watch. The third period was kind of boring.
Intentionally and when they by scored the Stars.
Yes, and no, and I said that's a good thing on X. But as soon as that 4th goal went in for Drouin, I was like, uh-oh. I was like,
yeah.
It's like, no, not again. Okay. I think that's it, guys. We got to go to sleep. It's late. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope. All right. Thank you guys for following along with us this morning, I guess. It's currently 12:28 at the time of this recording. We've had up to 102 people at most live here tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. We really appreciate it. There's even more of you who are listening afterwards. StarcasticRemarks.com is the website. Go and check that out for all the latest info for our podcast. It's the first place where the episode is first posted. And whenever I can get back to a chance to doing blogs, that's where that will be as well. And as always, thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor of this episode.
Use our
promo code THPN. I'm almost there. Along with Chris and James, my name is Ryan. I'm going to go to sleep before I mess up any further. We hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. Happy solar eclipse day. Chris, take us out.
Stars yodel down the avalanche. GG, boys.